Welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast. A little bit of an off-season review and unseasonal conditions outside. It is moist and steamy outside. That's a word we don't use enough, I don't reckon, moist. We need to get that more into the vocab. Ben Casanilli with you. I'm joined by K-Rock's number one caller, Tom King. Kingy, fair to say the season stopped, but there's been a fair bit happening, particularly with the Pussycats.
Yes, just very quickly, we're award winners, by the way.
Yes, oh,
we
yes.
won for the grand final call for 2017. Only at K-Rock, though, would we win an award and it be mislabeled. It said we'd won it for the call of the this year's grand final, but it was for the call of last year's grand final.
And for this year's. They're just preempting that we will win it this year.
I think we've won 7 of the last 9 in that category. They're actually going to name the category after us.
Yeah, well, it's just pretty much unstoppable, the Rock team. But
well, under Darren Berry, who it was most of Chuck's call, actually, that you and I were named on the award, but Chuck did all the heavy
lifting. No, it was a team effort. Everybody, just the crew, everyone. We had a good year. It was good fun. Cats weren't so good this year, but hopefully they can London Fog and lift next year.
How is the Fog?
Yes, he's rehabbing. He's had 6 months out with a tendon injury. He's 3 weeks away from coming back into work for one more crack at the old Son of E console. So everybody's got their fingers crossed.
And if not, happy life in the paddock?
Well, yes, or I have made some initial contact that potentially to try and become a police horse. Oh. So he's a magnificent individual. 17 hands. He's massive. 630 kilos of equine animal can just throw a few greenies around, I would have thought.
Ben, there's some irony in you sending a horse to the police.
Yes, there is. I'll probably ride in through the gates myself and then just jump off and run back out. But we'll certainly find a good home for him. But we've got one more crack at it, the old boy, and everyone's got their fingers crossed to win another race. It'd be emotional scenes. Derby day tomorrow too, so there'll be some emotional scenes there.
What do we make of the departures, Ben, from the Cats? 11 players have been shown the door, including quickly, just how's your therapy going since Daniel Menzel was told that he was no longer required?
Yeah, look, it's been interesting. It's disappointing. I mean, I can understand where Geelong are coming from, and I can also understand the other side of the fence where why would you get rid of him? I can see it both ways, and unfortunately that's just footy. That's just the reality of footy, and Geelong have chosen to gone in another direction. It's just interesting with McCarthy going, Gregson obviously gone, injury cloud over Cockatoo. They bring in Dalhouse and Rowan to play that role. Now, I'm not sure. I think Dalhouse is a good little player. He's tenacious.
4-year deal.
Yeah, 4-year deal. I find that absolutely staggering. 4 years for a bloke who's coming off a couple of years of
he's been
pre-average.
Horrible. Yeah.
Look, he's a terrier. If he gets back to his best, he'll provide you with some pressure. He's not skillful.
No.
He'll miss targets and he'll butcher the footy. So that's why I'm not sure why you would give a bloke who has a big question mark over his skill a 4-year deal. And Gary Rowan, for mine, maybe I'm going early. Gary Rowan just does nothing for me. Gary Rowan is a player who has 4 bounces and lays the odd tackle and then spends the next 6 weeks in witness protection. Have a look at his stats over these last 2 years. They are abysmal. Abysmal. He's had 17 games of 27 where he's touched the ball less than 10 times. Now, he can lay a tackle, he can do all that. If he ain't got the ball, he's not contributing. So have a look at his finals record. Oh, my God. I just don't see Gary Rowan. If people expect Gary Rowan to this bloke that's going to chase and tackle and get it 20 times and kick you 3 goals a week, forget about it. He ain't doing that.
Is there anybody out of that 11 that you were surprised?
Not really. Menzel was the one that you could keep. You could certainly mount a case to keep. I mean, he probably would have kicked 40 goals had he not missed the best part of half a year this year.
There was some whisper that they'd redraft Gregson as a rookie, but that seems to have disappeared.
Just think the injury problems at Navicula. Yeah. He'd need to go back somewhere and play a year of footy and prove himself.
Go to the VFL or the Sandful.
Maybe, and then prove it. It's just, there's too big.
Because he's a talent.
He is, he certainly.
If his first year tells us anything, he can play the game.
Oh, it's a sad tale. But the injury he's got is one that is, unfortunately, the chances of it reoccurring seem really high, and it's certainly been high for him. And it's just too big a risk. I mean, you've already got some blokes there who, I mean, they wanted to keep Link McCarthy, and he turned his back on the footy club. They had, my understanding is they had an interview and asked him, certainly what was happening, and he just said he wanted to move on. He wanted to move on from Geelong. So Jackson Thurlow's the other one.
Great to see him get a gig.
Yeah, it is good. He'll play well, I guarantee
you. So Thurlow obviously has gone to Sydney.
Yep, for pick 70, I think.
Yep.
Well,
and he was a first-round draft pick.
First-round draft pick who's, what, 23 maybe, 24?
24.
With 7 or 8 years in front of him, and they get pick 70 for him. Wow.
McCarthy to Brisbane.
Well, all the best to Link. He's a great fella. 3 years is probably, you know, you probably think that's overs. You know, my understanding is that Chris Fagan really worked hard on Link McCarthy, spoke to him regularly over the course of a significant period of time, and the interaction with the coach was something that really appealed to him. Yep. Because I'm not sure he was getting that at the club that he formerly played for.
Menzel is large to Sydney.
Yes, well, that'd be even... I mean, if that was to happen, the smaller confines of the SCG... I mean, Dan's a talent.
Yeah.
If Dan can string together, he's probably not going to play every game. If he can play 18 games and be 90% fit in those 18 games...
Kick 40.
Yeah. And there'll be egg on the face if Gary Rowan is... spends time in the VFL, which is a very real possibility, given I think he spent time in the NEAFL this year, didn't he?
At times, yeah. He did have some injury. A tough year for Gary Rowan.
Yep.
In lots of different ways. Obviously, it wasn't the physical side for Gary, it was the mental. So
You just go back, though, even beyond that. He's just one of those blokes that just... He does what seduces you, and then you're just frustrated for the next 3 weeks because you can't touch the ball.
The Cats have also brought in, obviously, other than Dulhouse and Rowan, Nathan Kruger. They obviously see something in this Nathan Kruger to have gone to Carlton and said, we're going to give you a third-round pick to get this compensation that you're getting.
Yep. Look, you've watched his highlights, and, of course, the highlights,
don't
show it when he's fumbled it 8 times and been caught holding the ball 7 times. But, he showed him. He's only a young fella on Freddie. So, that's obviously a selection that could prove to be a really wise one for the Cats. But, I mean, he's basically just a draftee. It's interesting. Oscar Brownless is the other one that they're...
Oh, well, Stephen Oakenbaugh is the other one they've brought
in. Yeah, the Irish.
Irishman. Who
Irishman with a sort of a Kenyan surname.
Yes. The other...
Pat McGroin, are they interested in looking at him?
I did see something from the Twitter sphere from the Cat Attack
Pat's
podcast.
A good player.
Okay. Oscar Brownless will... if there's no... Well, I think the Cats will match any bid.
I'm talking to a couple of recruiters and who suggested that... and they were impartial. They weren't aligned to Geelong in particular. Yep. And they were suggesting that he was certainly draftable.
Yep.
40 plus, would not go below 40. Is footy smart, but has lacks skill.
Yeah, okay.
He's a poor kick.
He's a good leader, and he's shown that over the 2 years. He's just a good character.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Certainly.
Might override a little bit, that lack of skill. So the Cats traded up in the draft last week with some picks.
To 50.
To get to 50.
That'd be about right.
Correct. And that's where I think they were happy to go. It helped Collingwood out with what they want to do with Quainer and Kelly.
Yep.
And it's got the Cats up into Brownless territory.
What'd you make of the Tim Kelly saga? Love that word, saga.
Saga. I think the Cats got it right. I think, but we won't know for 12 months. I did have one Cat fan go to me yesterday. Wouldn't it be hilarious if the Cats were to win a grand final and in the last quarter with Geelong 10 goals in front, he doesn't knee?
Well, okay, I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen.
No. But
the knee part, I'm not sure about, but the grand final, 10 goals up, I'm pretty sure that ain't happening.
Yeah, you've got to be careful what you're wishing.
Yeah, look, I see it differently. I think Geelong have pulled the wrong rein here. Had to take pick 20 and 22. They had to. I would have moved Mitch Duncan to Fremantle.
Was that ever going?
Don't know, but I would have looked
but
to do it.
Does Mitch want to go back home though?
Oh, probably
his
not.
His life's here.
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't have kept Tim Kelly. Not on a footy basis. I certainly kept him on a footy basis. Just think, there's a lot more involved. Obviously, with the Tim Kelly story, having him here for another year. If I was Tim Kelly, now I'm not advocating he do this, but if I was Tim Kelly and I was managing Tim Kelly, and you've got a deal, he's going to be at West Coast in 2020. He won't be playing at Geelong. I mean, Geelong are confident of keeping him. Please,
we've got to say that.
Yeah, they're also going to have a cure for cancer by round nine. I mean, it's just not going to happen. No. He will be at West Coast in 2020. So he will potentially have, and if I'm his manager, I'm pushing West Coast for a five-year deal.
Yep.
A five-year deal at, say, let's say I want it incrementally, so averages out at about 700,000 a season. So that's, he's looking at about 3.5 million.
Yep.
I don't play for Geelong next year for 300,000. I risk way too much to be playing for Geelong.
So you reckon he sits out?
No, I'm saying that it's something that he should consider. He ain't playing for the Cats. He ain't playing for Geelong this year. Yeah, he'll try when he's out there, but he's not. He knows he's leaving. He's going to spend the entire year knowing that he won't be at the end.
Counting down to.
And he risks that five-year, potentially $3.5, $4 million deal by playing for a club that he has no tie to in the next following season. For me, I would be having a serious look at not playing footy next year.
How's that different to Paddy Dangerfield, who knew 18 months out?
Well, he already played 8 or 9 years at Adelaide.
Yeah, but he still knew 18 months out he was going
very
home.
Different beast. He wasn't homesick. He'd spent 8 years there. He was comfortable there. He just wanted to come back.
Yeah.
So it's a very different scenario to Paddy Dangerfield. And for Geelong fans jumping up and down that Tim Kelly wanted to go home but only chose West Coast, well, didn't Paddy Dangerfield say he wanted to come home as long as he came to Geelong? Didn't Gary Ablett come home say as long as he wanted to go to Geelong?
But home... See, this is where home's different, though. Home is Geelong for Paddy Dangerfield and Gary.
But it's only an hour up the road, so I think Cat fans are a bit two-faced there, suggesting or poo-hooing Tim Kelly for saying he wanted to go back to West Coast.
Bit different for Dangerfield. Dangerfield lives at Moggs Creek. It's an hour and three quarters from Moggs Creek to Melbourne.
He didn't have to live in Moggs Creek. It's where he chose to live.
But it's where he's from.
Yeah. But, I mean, well...
You don't begrudge a bloke going home.
I'm just saying to you that they wanted to come home as long as they nominated their club. Yeah. Now, Tim Kelly nominated the club he wanted to go to, and I think a big reason for that might be the coach of the Fremantle Football Club. He's a little bit like the coach that, in terms of personality-wise, he's currently playing.
Does the manager have some issues with Fremantle as well?
Oh, I don't know, probably. But, I want to go to West Coast as well, not Freo.
If he had a higher profile manager than Anthony van der Weelen, does the deal get done?
I'd be having a shot from outside 50, so I have absolutely no idea where that would end up. But I don't know. I just think that I thought it was a time to get pick 20 and 22, and move on.
So they would have 12, 20, 22.
Yep.
So right now they have 12, and they don't have another pick to 50.
Yeah. And you know, you hear all sorts of things. I mean, there's rumours abounding out of Geelong that all is not well. Mm. I mean, the other thing that and obviously there might be some still time for this to change. How can they go with the same coaches for another season? I just don't understand it. I mean, it's baffling.
There's been very little change to the coaching staff over the last 5 years.
It's mind-boggling. I mean, like Matthew Nice, think he's a great guy, but I think it's time somebody else had a crack at the midfield. They had a midfield
Will they shuffle then?
Well, what do they do? Just make somebody. All they do each year is just move people around, but it's the same people. It's the same voices. How you could not throw that coaching staff around and get some new blood in there is I find it staggering. And, you know, I'm led to believe some of the players are scratching their head as well as to how that is happening, why that is happening, and why there is no movement at all in the coaching ranks.
But there is, yeah, as you said, there's still time, but...
It doesn't look like... You're not hearing anything.
Well, the Cats start pre-season in 10 days.
Yeah, my mail is that some of the players think that is unusual and a bit baffling.
Okay. The Cats will have 7 picks at this stage. Brownless looks to be one of those 7. The other position will be filled by Blake Schlensog, who's out of the Falcons. He's a Next Generation Academy, Indigenous heritage, so the Cats have first dibs at him. He did have a run-up at Essendon, had a look at him, and will, I think, are semi-interested in him, so there might be a match bid for him, but he's another one that's likely to get onto the list. And he, I'm guessing you haven't seen him play, Benny, because you're actually looking at me to say, who the hell is Blake Schlensog?
I was just trying to think of something that we could call him. but I'll probably get in trouble if I go with what immediately popped into my head. So what sort of player is the Schlenster?
He's 109 centimetres.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Athlete.
Oh, wow. He's an athlete.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's well, so he can't read the play.
No. He's football smart. So he's actually pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. Nah, he's a beast.
Okay.
He's going to be, I think he's going to be a good player.
Right. So he's joining the Cats.
Yet to be confirmed, but they are, put it this way, Stephen Wells doesn't mention names, but when I did say, are you looking to add anybody else, when I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, we are keeping an eye on Blake Schlenzog. So that's usually code for, yeah,
Well, he wouldn't throw up the name if he was trying. Well, if the Cats, if they want him, they can have him. That's obviously how it works.
They can be matched, I think.
Yes. He wouldn't throw up a name that he was... No. I wouldn't have thought he'd throw up a name if he was trying to keep him under the hat.
Correct.
Like what they did with Tom Stewart.
Yeah.
But they basically wrapped him up in a doona and put him under somebody's bed for a year so that nobody else
Him. He did finish runner-up in the Cats' best and fairest in the VFL the year he got drafted, Tom Stewart. They weren't overly hiding him.
No, but I think there was some sort of... He may have... There's a good story in that, if you follow that up, about Tom Stewart. I think he may have said to Fremo, you draft me, I won't play.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. It's unlike our good mate Tim McGrath, who was, when Geelong were getting him from North Melbourne, and Blighty said, you're not training with us, you're going out to Deakin, and you're doing all your stuff out there with, well, I don't know who the runner was back there, back in those days. And then they just, Tim McGrath all of a sudden on Geelong's list.
Yes, well, that was handy, wasn't it? Bluey had ended up 219 games too, I think. Oh. Just the Cats' first pick there, what sort of player... And I don't know, I haven't studied the form guide of the kids enough to know any names, but what sort of player do you think Geelong would be looking at?
Oh, they'd like Jack Lukosius if he fell through to pick 12.
Twizzies, you get to pick 12.
Will one of the King brothers be there? Probably not. Sam Walsh won't be there, unfortunately. Isaac Rankin probably...
No, I'm just thinking a type of player. What sort of player?
I don't know what they... Well, what do Geelong need? I reckon they need the marking forward, another marking forward. They need to start developing a 6'4" marking forward.
Well, isn't this the Schlenzenator?
No, he's a ruckman.
And the other kid, Freddy Krueger?
Krueger's one.
Yeah, he's one. They've got one there.
A defensive...
They've got Radigalia.
A defensive inside midfielder would be nice.
Yeah, I reckon they need speed. They need someone who's a playmaker.
Off halfback?
Well, no, not necessarily. Well, in time they will. Not necessarily off halfback. I think you've got... Henry,
Honore,
Stewart,
where does Honore play his best footy?
Well, I think he's in defence, but Cats, because of their more problems than Britney Spears, have got to try and play him all over the place. He's only played 5 minutes. His head would be spinning. He's one, but he's in defence. He's just not settling anybody in a position. It's
been a pretty good 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was. He's one that's really sort of grabbed your... He's grabbed you by the boo-boo, hasn't he, old Jack Henry? I think, who's Jack Henry? You look down, 38, surely this is a misprint. He's actually been, he's got some tricks. He's good in the air. I reckon in defence will be his go. But I just think midfield, I don't particularly think they need a midfield. I think they need a playmaker, an outside playmaker who's got skill and has got some speed. Because you look at it now, Joel Selwood is you know, coming or getting towards the end of a brilliant career.
What's he got, 3 seasons left?
Oh, maybe. Depends on injury, his body, all sorts of things. So, but he's slowing down slightly. So Mitch Duncan's not quick.
Dangerfield's got 2 years left on his deal.
Yep.
I think Hawkins has got 2 years left on a deal. End of 2021 is going to be... Well, end of 2020 is going to be very interesting to see where the Cats are at.
Yeah, well, we may need a helmet on then.
Yep.
I got a 2022... Yeah.
2022.
Get your helmet on, I'd say. I'd say start looking at the draft picks early.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be talking about kids, top 10.
You just look at the teams, they've all got some good playmakers, outside playmakers. Gaff for West Coast is one, obviously he missed out in the grand final, but he's probably not necessarily quick. But I just think they need some speed because they don't have that outside speed that can hurt you. And I mean, if you've got somebody who can win it inside and outside, because they've got, if you look at it down the track, they've got Constable is going to be a big sort of inside ball winner who's not quick but can feed it.
He'll be Cripps-like.
Fogarty is another one who's not super quick, who can win the ball though. There's a couple others in there as well.
Narkle.
Yeah, Narkle is another. He's probably got some speed without being blazing. Jermaine Jones is one I think I liked. I've sort of liked what I saw of him. He's obviously got a long way to go, but he's one that I like. He can take a mark for his size and not all.
It's a big year for Jones next year because he's only got a 1 year deal and it's his last year on the rookie list.
Yeah, well, I quite liked what I saw him. Even watched him a couple of times in the VFL when Geelong were getting beaten, and while he didn't star and he didn't get touched the ball 20 times, he did a few things that were suggested he's got some talent.
Yep.
So I quite like him. Narkle is another one there, obviously, you mentioned. But I just reckon maybe some outside run with a playmaker, a pure playmaker who's got some footy smarts, it would be the way to go.
So we'll wait and see. November 22 is the first round of the draft. So the Cats will have one of their selections on that night. And then the 23rd of November. Yeah, big day, 23rd of November, Benny.
It is too. The K-Rock breakup. Will we nude at that? Nude. There's another word we didn't use enough. There's a couple of fans out there at Catatech Podcast who love the use of the word
nude.
It is an underrated word. But yeah, looking forward to that 20. So they're stretching it out over. Do you reckon the AFL could stretch anything else out?
No.
I think
they're... Oh, actually, no, they can make the AFLW season longer, if you ask.
Well. Let's not.
Benny,
it's too early for that. It's way too early to be extending that season.
Yeah. Well, no. It should be everybody should be playing everybody once in that competition.
Probably. Just leave it how it is for the minute.
Yeah. But
just let it grow and let it develop before we start talking expansion.
It's going to be better in 2 years.
Yes, it's going to be better in 5 years' time.
Even two.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to incrementally get better every year.
Yep. Fixture is out, Benny. The Cats have
got the AFL got off the Cats as well.
The Cats have got one Thursday and three Fridays. Collingwood and Essendon are the darlings of the competition, and that's no surprise with Collingwood runner-up this year. Essendon they're being done on potential in terms of what they're being given. The Cats open with Collingwood on a Friday night. Back, they only play Collingwood once, and they play Melbourne once, and they play them in round one and two.
Good start for the Cats.
Adelaide and Adelaide. Giants at home, Hawthorn at the MCG, and the Eagles at home in a Sunday twilight.
Yeah.
If the Cats get out of that 3-3,
they'll be going well.
They're going all right, I reckon.
If they're 1-5, finals are off.
That season over.
Yeah,
2-4 leaves them with a little bit of work to do. 3-3 or better is they've put themselves in a really good position.
Yeah.
The only issue for the Cats is that the back end of the season, in terms of the travel. They've got to go to, I think it's round 18, or 17 or 18. I've just got the fixture in front of me here. Let me just flick through, Benny. Just hold the line there. So round 18, they're at home to Hawthorn. Sunday 1:10 game. That is off Broadway for Geelong and Hawthorn. 1:10 on a Sunday.
Yep.
But then round 19, off to Sydney on a Sunday afternoon. Old school. Lou Richards and Peter Landy will be calling that fixture for you on Channel 7.
Wayne Hedwood will be playing that game.
Wayne Hedwood will be there. Then they're off to Perth to play. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cats go late winter. We're not coming back to Geelong. We're heading to Perth for the week.
Yeah, I wouldn't have. Yeah.
I suspect that's what they'll do.
Jeez.
Looks like I'm going to
Big
Perth.
Big call. Each time they've done that, they've coughed it up.
No, not Brisbane a couple of years ago. They went to the Gold Coast for the week, beat the Lions pretty comfortably.
Sounds good to do that. I don't know. I just think being in your own bed, your own surroundings, the players would much prefer that.
Can I pencil in a loss for the Cats?
Yep, when?
Round 14.
To who?
Port Adelaide.
In?
Adelaide. Do you know why? Cats have got the bye in round 13.
Yes. So we can pencil that in.
It's a loss.
They'll be looking at that already.
Then they come home, play North Melbourne on a Saturday night, and then they head to Brisbane. So... four of the last five rounds, three of them three on the road in that four-week period, and then they come home, finish off with Carlton. So hopefully they just have to beat Carlton to play finals.
Wow. What's your early expectations for the Cats next year?
Still bottom half of the eight. Still got enough talent to finish bottom half of the eight. You've got to make a case for somebody to knock them out. The only team I can make a case for knocking them out at the moment is Essendon.
Well, the AFL think that because they've programmed Essendon as being one of their marquee teams next year.
I don't think Adelaide will be as bad as they were this year either.
No.
But they'll miss McGovern.
I don't know. Geelong are borderline. I think exactly where they were this year is where they'll be. They'll be scrapping. And if they get off to a poor start, they're not good enough to overcome it.
No.
They'll win a few games, but they're not good enough to overcome a 1-5 start.
If they make a 2015 like start, they'll struggle to get in front. They'll never get in front of the curve. If they're 1-5, they'll never get back in front.
Do we hear any? What did you hear of the player survey? Do you hear anything about a player survey
among the Geelong players?
Yes, an anonymous player survey.
Not a great deal.
Well, apparently, well, rumor is that there was a survey, player survey. With
there's some talk going around too of a leading teams like situation as well.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah,
that's new to me. The survey though was, I think, well, rumor has was went ahead.
Okay.
And yeah, the players were able to sort of say what they liked without fear of being outed. And they had plenty to say about some others within the club.
Okay.
So, which I'm not sure what happened with the survey, the results of that survey, whether it's been acted upon or who administered it or who initiated it. But there is a rumour, not confirmed, but yeah, that there was some plenty of strong feedback. And plenty of it too, not just from a certain section, but from a large section of the playing group about certain others within the football club.
Okay. We'll keep an eye out and ear out and see what comes of that.
Hopefully Julian Assange will release that WikiLeaks doll from the Ecuadorian embassy. I look forward to that.
Is time nearly up there, is it, for him?
He's been there for about 5 years. Do you reckon he goes out, like, surely he goes out 2 a.m. or something just with some glasses on and a hat. And
Charlie Chaplin style.
And just launches down to a bar or something, has a couple of refreshments. I mean, what sort of Ecuadorian fare would he be served up
there? Not sure.
What are the Ecuadorians launch onto?
I have no idea.
Sort of a ribs? I wouldn't have thought. What do you reckon they'd be? Sort of, there'd be plenty of, you know, plenty of sort of root vegetables.
Beans?
And, yeah, and there'd be sort of capsicum and onion. And
oh, yum.
Yeah, but
fry that up.
Well, I mean, hopefully there's windows in his room because, wow, anything could happen. Julian's, it'll be like a time bomb in there, and his little fart sack will be blowing up like a Pakistani marquee.
There are two JLT games for the Cats. They've got to go to Perth.
Oh, the Just Like Training Series.
So this is unbelievable. We did a bit of research here. The Cats have been interstate every year in the preseason since about 1992.
Yeah, they...
What is it about the Cats having to travel?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, they're playing West Coast, so gives them a chance there. And, I mean, only two games, you've got to play a relatively strong team. What else have we got from the Cats, Kingy? We've got... trying to think of what else has happened in the last couple of months. It's been an interesting time.
It's been very...
Geelong.
It's been very... No, like
the other teams, you look at... I mean, Melbourne. Yeah. I know they lost Hogan, but well, they got May.
They got May.
Yeah. Hawthorn. Wingard.
They got Darren Minchington yesterday.
And Scully.
Tommy Scully. For a packet of chips.
Collingwood got Beams.
Very handy.
Richmond got Tom Lynch. Geelong got Dalhouse and Rowan.
Oh,
wow.
Geez, sure. You are glass half empty, aren't you?
Oh, I think there's...
Do you see the good in anything?
Yeah, I do.
When?
Joel Selwood's good.
Oh, no, really?
I just think there's a lot of problems there internally.
We actually haven't spoken about the Kaji.
Well, there's another story. Tell me, right, you think I'm negative over the name again. Here I go again. How, explain this to me concisely and in a logical fashion. How did Tom Stewart finish sixth?
No, I don't know.
Something is a bit pewee with that. Something's fishy there. The theory is, and it's been long held by players, the clubs fudge best and fairest, depending upon the money that's owed, salary cap, all sorts of things. There's reasons why they do it. I can't fathom that Tom Stewart was sixth in the best and fairest.
So who finished ahead of him? Obviously,
Blitzel's had a good year, yeah.
Kelly and Dangerfield.
I can't see both of those ahead of him, to be honest with you. Maybe Kelly. Certainly not Dangerfield.
Stewart did drop off in the second half. His first half was outstanding. Probably, but from the ankle injury.
But don't they take off your worst three or four games? Yeah. Geelong have this bizarre system.
Yeah, but but they would have taken the worst. They would have taken Kelly's worst three off, and Kelly's worst three would have been pretty handy.
Oh, he had some games where he struggled.
Yeah.
He had a few games where he struggled. But that was first year Blues.
Stewart's ankle obviously gave him
I can't fathom that Mitch Duncan and Tom Stewart finished equal in the best and fairest. Something's that's if Terry Bailey, the chief stipendary steward, went into Geelong and conducted a thorough investigation, I reckon he'd find that there was.
You like that term, don't you?
Yeah.
Thorough investigation.
Well, I like a good debriefing. I reckon he'd find that there was what they commonly refer to as funny buggers going on there. Some of the players even think that some of the placings were odd.
Okay.
In that best and fairest.
No.
So, let's not take too much credence in the best and fairest anymore, I reckon. I reckon it's...
Oh, I still think Blitzars.
Oh, Blitzars had a great year.
Yeah. I still think Blitzars was Geelong's best.
Yeah. No, not taking anything away from him. He did have a really good
fair
season.
Fair effort to win too.
So we'll look for him in the ruck in the next year, probably. He's just found his feet now. They'll put him into the ruck.
Centre-half forward.
Yeah, well, he played in the ruck in the final. Yeah, that's... I still... It's just mind-boggling.
Mm. Anything else?
I'm trying to think, Kingy, which you've got the Melbourne Cup Carnival coming up, the week of just, it's probably, you know, as good as a week as of sport, you'll see. Mm. The equine athlete. What about Winx? Wow. It's quite amazing.
Would you run her again?
I wouldn't. I'd retire her. Mm. I just think, particularly with mares, 7-year-old, rising 8 by next autumn, as great as she is, I mean, look, she might just keep going, and let's hope she does. But when mares go sour and they decide that they don't want to race, they go sour.
Mm.
They put in a stinker. And I'd hate for her to go out with a run or two where she performs really well below her best, purely because she potentially had enough. Now, she may not. I'm not saying, but if anyone who knows anything about horse racing knows that when mares turn up their toes, they really turn up their toes.
Yep.
So, I don't think she's got anything else to prove. What are we proving by bringing her back for the autumn? I mean, 4 Cox plates, there's nothing else to prove.
What,
go out on
what
top.
What's she won in a row, 29?
Yeah.
Do you go one more and try and win 30?
What for?
I don't know.
What's the difference?
Just a nice round figure.
No, I just think the more you run her, the more you set her up to get beaten. And I'd hate for her to go out having been beaten. Mm. I'd love for her just to go out on top. Go out with the 4 Cox plates. You know, the owners will be nude. The money involved, the money they've won, and the money that's going to be involved now in the breeding barn. Goodness me. If you own Winx, wow.
So, Benny, what we might do is...
Is what?
We might come back and have one more before Christmas.
Yeah, okay. After the draft.
Yeah, after the draft. See what the Cats
It's going for 3 days, that draft, isn't it?
No.
How long's it going for two?
Round one on the Thursday night, and then they come back with the rest and the...
So we're going the American system. There's not enough talent, there's not enough IT, and there's not enough interest for the draft to be spread out over 2 days.
No.
It's
you tell me I'm not upset because the second day is the day of our get together. So
there's not enough intel on the players. No. People don't, they're just names.
Yeah, they haven't come through the college system like
No,
American
people
football.
See them every week in America.
Yep.
So they know who they are.
Yep.
So we're just picking out, you know, Bob Stringbag at half back, and people go, oh, yeah, well, how does he go? Well, he can't kick it over a jam, Tim, but he's, you know, he's got a raking left foot. If I hear raking left foot, if I hear...
Because nobody has a raking right foot, do they?
No. It's always a left foot. It has a raking. Yeah. No, everybody, he's good in traffic. That means he's slow. he's an outside player, means he sleeps with the light on. There's all these... There's all these terms, and you just get sick of hearing them. And anyway, let's hope the Cats can draft a couple of rippers, because it's going to be a long time between drinks. Between, what is it, pick 12 and pick 50?
Yeah, I think they're going to... I wouldn't be surprised if they try and move up in the...
12's just that awkward number, isn't it? Because, you know, the best three key position players are gone, and the best sort of three or four midfielders are gone. So you're going to get a good player, let's hope, but that absolute top-end talent is potentially just off the board by pick 12. So it'll be really interesting to see what the Cats... I said a playmaker. Let's be interested to see where they go with it.
Daz Broncos has checked in.
Oh, is he? What's he said?
Yeah, look at the total list turnover last 5 years. Total number is very high. When are the review results being posted or reported? Is this a club review? I don't think there will be. I can't see them being posted or reported.
No, I wouldn't have thought, Des. They don't report any of
those.
How
can the club put memberships up? Oh, everything goes up by CPI.
Yeah, they did. They put them up by...
It was seat prices.
Yeah.
Looking forward to hearing the chat. Oh, he's in Atlanta.
Is he?
Yeah. What are you doing in Brave Country?
Home of the Dirty Birds.
Yeah, the Falcons.
Yep.
And Josh Reese, at the end of the 2017 season, I thought we had two seasons left to contend. Do you think we will contend this year? Should we have taken the Kelly deal? Will we and GWS look back on this five-year patch and be a team that should have won, played in a grand final? Well, yes, should have won or played in a grand final.
I would have thought. I think that, well...
You've spoken about the Kelly deal already.
Yeah, window. I reckon the window's just about gone. I mean, it was...
The premiership clock...
I read today...
Is it 5 to 12?
5 to 12? Yeah, I don't know. Well, I would have thought it was right in the window last year, and Geelong had to win the second last game or the last game of the year just to make finals. Mm. I think that window's gone. I read Lockie Young wrote, the first 6 weeks of the year will really test Geelong's premiership credentials. But the coach keeps talking about it's a list in transition. So where are we? Are we at Geelong? A premiership team, or are they a team in transition? Because if you're a team in transition, you ain't winning the flag. So which group are we in? Because we top up with these players, and then yet the coach is talking about all these players at debut, and that this is a list in transition, and all the turnover. And so where exactly is Geelong's list? Where is it? It's in no man's land. Yeah. It's in no man's land. It's not sure what it's doing. One arm's waving this way, one arm's waving that way. They top up as if you're a premiership team, and then when they don't win, it's all we're in transition. Well, it's becoming really frustrating, and what I'm picking up from word on the street is that fans are becoming increasingly frustrated with, I think, the coach and what's happening down there.
There was an afl.com.au satisfaction survey of the coaches, and I think Chris Scott came in at 40%. He might have been in the bottom four or five.
Yeah,
down with Alan Richardson.
And I think for Brian Cook to say when he said... Line. Yeah, when Brian Cook said that
90%.
I think he was seriously had misread the tea leaves.
I think we're done.
Yeah, good work, Kingy. It's been fantastic. We'll be back again
post-draft.
Yeah, post-November 22, November 23, and we'll have some tales of the K-Rock breakup.
No, we won't.
Yeah, we probably
won't. What happens at the K-Rock breakup stays at the K-Rock breakup.
Yep, well, we look forward to it. We'll refresh. Go tomorrow, the derby. For purists, tomorrow is one of the great days on the racing calendar.
All group ones?
There'd be five or six group ones. Mm. Four, maybe. Yeah, I haven't looked at the guide yet. I've had a quick flick last night through some form. Mm. And, really, look, tomorrow is just a day where you just make sure the Esky's got enough refreshments to see you through from at least sort of midday through till sort of midnight.